Of course, if he will consider for a moment my position and the fact that for many long years I entirely believed what I professed, and also felt it my duty to God and to my church to defend the doctrines of the church, he may understand why I was so vehement and looked upon him as a foe to truth and a dangerous man to the followers of the church and to all that we believed in as sacred and holy. Now I must confess that I see some things in a little different light, and am not so certain as to some of the positions assumed by the church, in its teachings, of the Catholic Church, as to the destiny of men in the spirit world. I should like very much to talk to him again and ask him some questions respecting the position that he took, and this not for the purpose of controversy, but to learn his explanations of some of the things that he asserted. So, if he will tolerate me for a while, I will be greatly obliged. Is now writing through Mr. Morgan, I want to ask you a question. And that is, how you came to know of the things you asserted to be the great truths that are necessary to be understood in order to obtain salvation. Mr. Morgan has enabled Father Williams to visualize a bright spirit. I saw him. I am very much surprised at your statement. You are indeed fortunate. I am satisfied with your explanation and shall endeavor to profit by it. I am not as vicious as you may suppose, but I thought I was but doing my duty in trying to protect my people from one whom I believed was the emissary of the devil. I now see my error, and am thankful that you were so patient in enduring my abuse as you were. I am, as I said, satisfied with your explanations, and from now on shall endeavor to become as the bright spirit with whom you brought me in contact. You must not think unkindly of me, for I now realize what a great service you have rendered me. I will now go. 606. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, you had an unusual visit at night and I was very much interested in his interview and experience with Mr. Morgan, and was glad that Mr. Morgan spoke to him as he did and gave him the opportunity of coming in contact with a bright spirit and thereby having an awakening that he had never had before. The uncle is a very bright spirit and has much of the divine love in his soul, and is so happy in doing the work that came to him tonight. The Catholic priest actually wrote you and Mr. Morgan and, while he could not see me, and I did not choose to manifest myself to him, yet I could and did observe all that he thought and did. He had with him a number of spirits similar in condition and belief to himself and they all heard what Mr. Morgan said to the priest, and some of them were attracted by what was said, and also saw the uncle when he made himself visible to them, and some went with the uncle and the priest. We are all glad that Mr. Morgan is doing this work, for it is a wonderful work and one that will accomplish much good among these Catholic spirits, and when it is considered that of all Christians they are the most bigoted and convinced that their beliefs are the true ones and their states in the spirit world such as must have necessarily followed from the truths as taught by the Church, you can readily understand what a laborious and difficult work Mr. Morgan is doing and will do. And for his benefit, I say that he will never be deserted by his band, and the Catholic priests will never be able to overpower this band, for this is a truth, that while the band seldom uses any force towards these deluded spirits, yet should they choose to do so the mere willing that these antagonistic spirits should leave Mr. Morgan would be sufficient to cause them to withdraw and thus destroy the rapport. But this cannot be, for the work that he is doing is one that must be done, and this is part of the work which he has been selected to do, and in its results it is a glorious work. The salvation of these spirits is just as important to the harmony of the heavens as is the salvation of any man or class of men or spirits. Mr. Morgan will always have the necessary protection, and whenever he calls for the higher spirits to aid in his work, that call will always be responded to. Even now, there are many of these spirits who are lingering in and satisfied with the Paget Messages 1917, condition in purgatory that are now in brighter spheres, on their way to the celestial kingdom, because of the love that they have received in their souls, and they are more grateful to Mr. Morgan than I can explain. And these rescued spirits are also with him, working to help their friends and acquaintances who are still in their darkness and belief in the efficacy of the teachings of their church. God will bless Mr. Morgan in his work while on earth, and many spirits whom he has helped will thank and bless him when he comes to the spirit world. I have thus written at length so that Mr. Morgan might gain some conception of what his work means and how he has been successful in his efforts, and feel encouraged to continue in his good work, without doubt as to the truth of what he may conceive the results of his efforts to be. Well, dear, I will not write more now, but only say that I love you, as you know, and that your condition is much better, and very soon you will be able to receive the higher messages. So keep up your courage and pray to the Father, and you will not be disappointed, for the love will work in your soul the great miracle of transforming a human, mortal soul into a divine existence, at one with the Father and his very essence. Good night, and believe that I am your own true and loving, Helen. December 4, 1917. I am here, must I say, your own true and loving, Helen. While, in many instances, the evil spirits influence mortals in their thoughts and actions, yet this is not always the case, and it will not do for mortals to think so. They are not the mere pliant tools or subjects of these evil spirits, but are persons with free wills, controlled by their own appetites, and for them to believe that all their evil acts are the results of the influence of these evil spirits would place them in a very subservient and deplorable condition, and at the same time retard the development of themselves by their own thoughts and acts. No, the evil spirits are always working evil, but all the thoughts and desires that mortals have and do, and not the results of the influence of these spirits. Man must realize that in himself is the cause of his own evil thoughts and deeds, though increased by the influence of these spirits, and that he must master these thoughts that he be able to drive them from him and overcome them by 607, thoughts of a different and higher nature. It will not do for men to think that they are wicked only because of the influence of the evil spirits, for to think so would retard their development and at the same time take from them a realization of their own responsibility. And on the other hand, the source of good thoughts is within themselves, and if they will only seek for this source they will be able to progress in their moral conditions, and while the good spirits can and do help them, yet primarily men must help themselves from the good that is within them. I would like to write you fully on this matter, and will sometime, but tonight you are not in condition, and I will not try. But remember this, that whatever of evil is displayed or gives evidence of the soul being possessed by it, yet within themselves is the power to overcome and cause its eradication. I mean that men must make the effort, realize that they are masters of good and evil. We can help you, if you will let us, it depends on you, and no other can take the praise or blame of the results of your thoughts or actions. Yet, you must also realize this, that when the evil ones form a rapport with you, and in a way obsess you, it will become the more difficult for you to exercise your own will, and hence, men should pray to be given help from the higher source to overcome the influences of these evil ones. The character of your company will determine to a considerable extent the kind of thoughts you may have and the deeds you may do. But good or bad be your associates, you alone will be responsible for the results of your thoughts and acts. I must not write more. Good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. December 8, 1917. I am here, George W. Smith. I am a spirit who lived in England and knew the family of your friend, Dr. Stone, and have met them in the spirit world and have seen them write to him and call him their son, and as I am permitted to write I thought that I would say a few words. I am not in such an exalted position as my friends and have with me some darkness and suffering, though I am progressing and learning of the way which they tell me I must pursue in order to get rid of my present conditions. Mrs. Stone has been a very angel of goodness to me and has so patiently tried to show me the way to truth and to the love that has made an angel of her. What a glorious and beautiful spirit, the Paget Messages 1917, she is, and how fortunate her son is to have such a mother who loves him so much, as I have heard her often say. Well, I merely want to say that I have heard the conversation between you and my brother and have believed with interest in what he said about writing to my sisters and telling them some of the spiritual truths that have been written to him by our mother and others. Well, I will not write more, but I have learned that the prayers of you mortals do help the darkened spirits very much, and wish that your friend and you would pray for me. Heaven is ahead of me, they tell me, and I want so much to get there. Good night, George W. Smith. December 9, 1917. I am here, Your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I heard your prayers, and prayed with you for the inflowing of the love, and I know that the Father will respond and fill your soul with His love, and make you feel your oneness with Him. I was with you this afternoon and heard the lecture on Christian Science and, while many true and helpful things were said, yet the address did not convey to the people the vital thing, that is, the way of obtaining the divine love of which the lecturer spoke. What he conceived to be the divine love is not that love, and in his concept does not operate as he believes. His conception of God, while superior and more true than that of the Orthodox churches, yet it is not the full and correct conception of God. Sometime soon a spirit will come and write on the subject of Christian Science. It is a true teaching in some particulars, especially as regards the way to the acquirement of a cleansing of the soul that will tend to make a mortal a perfect man, yet it cannot show the way to the higher truth that makes him a divine angel. I will suggest this explanation to the spirit who will write you, and I have no doubt that it will be fully explained to you. Well, dear, I will not write more now. Believe that I love you with all my heart and that I am watching over you, trying to help you in every way. Good night, and God bless you. Your own true and loving, Helen. December 10, 1917. I am here. His mother, Priscilla Stone. I am here, the mother of Leslie, and very much desire to write a few lines, as I feel that he would like to hear 608 from me and receive an expression of my love. Well, in the first place, I desire to tell him that I am progressing and am in a sphere that is so beautiful and full of the Father's love that for me to attempt to describe it would result only in failure. But when I tell him that my happiness is so very great that even I, at a very recent time, when in what I thought was the acme, the highest point, as of achievement or development, of happiness, had no conception of what happiness meant as compared to what I now possess. All this is so wonderful to me, that it is difficult even for a soul that is filled with this love to conceive what the love of the Father in its fullness can be. And the great thing of wonderment is that as we progress we realize that it is impossible to comprehend the heights and depths of this great love. When on earth and I read that God is love, I had not a faint idea even of what the expression meant, for, as you must know, my conception of love was based largely on what I knew or thought that human love was, such as my love for my children, which was to me the greatest expression of love. But, as I say, this love is not even a faint shadow of what the love of the Father is, and the great beauty of it all is that, while this divine love is always the same, yet in seeking and obtaining it I find that more and more is waiting for me. We know of no cessation of progress and are never satisfied, yet never unhappy, because we realize that we are not the possessor of it in all its fullness. No, our happiness is in proportion to the amount of love that we possess, and for the time that love is sufficient for our complete happiness. I do not know that mortals can fully understand this, because, as you may know, when mortals are seeking the natural love of another and desire more and more of it, and they are happy in its possession, yet at the same time they have some pain or unhappiness, because they do not have all the love that their desires ask for. Well, this is not the condition of us who have and seek this divine love, for it, of itself, seems to have the quality of causing complete, perfect happiness, without taking from us the desire and longings for more. I doubt that any of your philosophers can explain this apparent inconsistency, because they have nothing on earth to which they can make a comparison. A mortal who is satisfied with the love that he may have on earth has not the longings for more, and when he has the longings, he is not wholly happy in the enjoyment of that which he possesses. The Paget Messages 1917, and the same principle applies to the possession and longings of mortals for everything else of the natural or material. Ambitions for fame and power and position and the accumulation of wealth, and the love of a woman or man, are all subject to this law of the accompaniment of pain and unhappiness. So you may in a short way understand what great qualities the divine love has in its operations, and how it differs from the mere natural love. Well, my boy will think I am somewhat of a philosopher and have changed from my course of thought while on earth. And so I have, but he must not be surprised to know that as I receive the great love in my soul in increased abundance that comes with it a knowledge of law and principles and the relationship of things that I have never studied or attempted to acquire by study. And this is one of the surprising results of the obtaining of this divine love. It seems to have in it, as a part of its qualities, knowledge and wisdom and understanding that is not dependent upon the mind or intellect of the natural man, but which is a part of the mind of the soul that is developed as the soul is developed in love. I thought I would write in this way tonight, that Leslie may, in a faint way, comprehend what the progress of his mother means and comprehends. With love there can be no ignorance, for love is, of itself, wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And from all this you will see that the mortals whose ambition is that when they get into the spirit world they will have the opportunity to pursue the studies which they loved on earth, and that during all the long eternity there will be no cessation of opportunity to gratify their ambition. I say, you will see that these mortals will find themselves very poor indeed as compared with those whose ambition is to obtain the divine love, which brings with it all these things, and others greater and beyond conception of knowledge that these mortals can possibly have. Well, I will not write further on this subject tonight, but sometime, if it pleases you, I will come and write my boy a regular thesis upon some spiritual truth that may interest him very much. I heard him tell of his experience of a few nights ago, in going out of his body, and wondering if it were really true. Well, it was true. He left his body, and he may be a little surprised to know that the great desire of that young spirit to have him come to her and tell her again of some of the things that he had told her on earth was the 609 cause of his leaving his body. Her desires were so great that they actually drew his spirit to her. What he saw with his spirit eyes, and the persons who appeared to him were actually present, and the young spirit heard his conversation, and in it found some relief. She brought with her to the spirit world some of the thoughts that he had conveyed to her during his earth life, and having the experience of not finding what she had been taught, when on earth, that she would find in the spirit world, she became disappointed and doubtful, and then recalled what Leslie had told her, and with these memories came the desire that he should come and repeat to her these explanations that he had made to her of the truths and condition of the spirit world. She is now very much better, and is seeking for the truth, or rather a corroboration of the truth that she learned from him. I was present, as he thought, and when he left her I went with her and took her in my care, and have been trying to help her into the light and to a longing for this love. She is so young and her soul so susceptible to the influence of love, without being bound very much by erroneous beliefs that were taught her, she will, I know, soon become convinced of the true way to happiness and redemption. And her grandmother, who loves this young spirit so much, was with her and heard what Leslie said, and, of course, was shocked and grieved that he should try to teach their child such blasphemous things, and she shed tears and was very unhappy and wanted her child to go with her and not listen to what he said or was saying. But just here we interfered to a certain extent, and caused them to separate, and induced the grandmother to leave the child for a while, though she did not want to do so. And when Leslie said that he assisted her to a lower plane, he actually did so, for while she is a woman of a kindly nature, and a somewhat Christian character, as she understands, yet she is not fitted for the plane on which the scene related took place. And here let me say that the young spirit and her grandmother, because of the great law of attraction, are not suited to the same plane, and this grieves the grandmother very much, and also the child. But the regeneration of the child will, no doubt, have a great effect upon the grandmother, and when the time comes, that is after the child has learned the truth and received some of the love and goes to her grandmother to show her beauty and tell of her experience, we will go to the Paget Messages 1917, grandmother, also, and attempt to explain to her these truths and the error of her belief. December 16, 1917 I am here, Jesus. Well, my disciple, I realize that your desires are that I shall deliver a message to you tonight, and I am anxious to do so, yet I see that you are not just in condition that I may take that possession of your brain that is necessary in order to write satisfactorily. I am sorry that this is so, but it is a fact, and we will have to wait a while longer, which will not be very long, for you are much improved, and if you continue to pray you will soon become in that soul condition that will enable me to make the rapport. There are many messages yet to be written and I am anxious that you receive them in order that they may be delivered to the world, for the world is now awakened to a greater realization of the fact that man is spiritual and must have spiritual food. The war is causing many people to think of the hereafter and the destiny of the soul, and the knowledge that the world now has of the future life is very meager and unsatisfactory, merely a knowledge that the spirit survives death and experiences more or less happiness in the spirit life. As you know, this is not the vital thing in the destiny of man, for while a knowledge of the survival of man from the death of the physical man does give a great deal of consolation to the near and dear ones who are left on earth, yet the fact does not, in the slightest degree, determine the condition or destiny of the soul that has left its home in the flesh, and there are no means, now known to men, to show them that destiny, except some things written in the Bible which are the subject of much speculation and controversy and want of belief. The consolation of those who have faith in the Bible is founded on that faith, or rather, in most cases, belief. But there are a number of believers in the truths of the Bible, with a conscious soul perception of their meaning, who have that faith which makes certain to them the facts of destiny, and the possession of love in their souls. I will come tomorrow night and endeavor to write a formal message. In the meantime, let your thoughts turn more to the things of the Spirit, and your prayers ascend with more earnestness and longings to the Father. 610. As you know, I love you as my brother and disciple, and am with you as you pray each night, uniting in your prayers, and you must let your faith increase and believe that your prayers are being heard and will be answered to the fullest. I will not write more now. So my brother, good night, and may the Father bless you with his greatest blessings. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, Saint John. I will say only a few words. I am John and your guardian angel, and I'm so thankful that you are again getting into a spiritual condition when we may come and write you the spiritual truths that we are anxious to communicate. While I have not written as to these truths, yet I have been with you a great deal trying to help you and encourage you in your longings for the Father's love and for the development of your soul. Very soon I can see, we will resume our writings and then you will be very happy in the thought that you are again in condition to do the Father's work and to benefit humanity. The most ancient spirits, those who have lived in the spirit world from the entrance of the first spirits therein, can, if the medium is in the proper or necessary condition of rapport, communicate to mortals. It is a very mistaken belief that the highest spirits do not communicate through mediums, or rather may not, for these spirits have not lost their interest in the destiny of a human soul. Of course, there is much of the work done by spirits for mortals in which these higher spirits take no part. But such work is generally more of a material nature, and, so far as manifestation to mortals is concerned, performed only for the purpose of convincing men that intercommunication between the two worlds is possible and a fact, and that there is the persistence of life. But when the work is of a nature that leads men to a true conception of the vital spiritual truths and the way that leads to the Father, then these high spirits participate in the work. Jesus is now the leader of the great effort to establish a kingdom of God in the celestial heavens, and all spirits who have received a portion of the divine essence of the Father, through love, know the work that is being done and the aim thereof, and are working to bring about the great consummation of this plan. And here I will say, that in furtherance of this plan, and because you have been selected to work on earth among mortals, yourself a mortal, the highest spirit, the Paget Messages 1917, of the celestial heavens has been and is in communication with you, and the most ancient of all the spirits and first of mankind have written. You must believe this, for every message that you have received from spirits who are working to reveal this plan, forms a link in the great chain of revelation, and to not believe any of these messages and their sources would greatly harm and injure the truth of the whole. No matter what you may read as to the opinion of men who are investigating spiritualism and receiving messages from this side of life, do not for a moment doubt that you have received and are receiving these great spiritual truths from those who profess to deliver the same. I will come soon and write you a formal message on this subject. Believe that my love is with you and that I am endeavoring to help you in your great work. Pray more and turn your thoughts more to your mission, and you will do the work more satisfactorily, and the Father will bless you with a great abundance of His love. Good night, and trust in what I have written. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, Mrs. Horner. Let me say only a few words, for I am so anxious to write a few lines, and have been for some time. Many times I have been with you, Dr. Stone, and my husband as you conversed of things pertaining to the spiritual world, and I was very hopeful that he would believe what you said to him and turn his thoughts to an investigation of the truths that he would surely find, and thereby give me the opportunity of coming to him in my voice, at least, and telling him that I am not dead, but very happy and always watching over him to comfort him. I know that I have been away from him, as he has thought, for a long time, and that other things have intervened in his life to cause him to forget me to a more or less degree, and to think that it was all of life to live on earth and find his happiness there. This, of course, was quite natural, and I was not hurt, as you mortals say, because of the fact that he had, as he thought, given his affections to another, for I knew the conditions of his heart better than he himself knew it, and saw that his real love was mine, and that no other could take it from me or, as he may be surprised to hear, he could not give it to another. I have heard you talk to him about the soulmate love, and he has some conception of it, and I want to tell him that this is the love that is 611, binding us together, and nothing in all the universe of God can sever that bond. I should like to tell him what this bond means, and sometime, if you will indulge me, I will do so, but tonight I will not take your time. But tell him this, that I thought when on earth that I loved him, and I did, but now I realize how faint that love was as compared to what I now have for him, and what will always be his. He may not believe that I am writing to him or that my love for him is as I write it is, but as certain as his friend, death, at some time will come to him, so certain is it that when he comes to the spirit world he will find this love waiting for him, and also his soulmate, just at the entrance of his real home. Well, I must not write more, but kindly tell him that I am a very happy spirit, with my home in the fifth sphere, and that I am bright and beautiful in appearance, as they tell me. When I left the earth plane all darkness of race, Mrs. Horner was an African American, left me and I became one of the shining ones, and every spirit associate that I had, was and is my true brother and sister, and the Father is my Father, and I am his child. As my soul progressed and developed in love, I became nearer like unto the Father, and my spirit body and appearance showed the purity of my soul. And such will be his destiny if he will only follow the way that the Father has provided for him, by which he can obtain one of the beautiful mansions of these spheres. I will tell him only one thing more before I stop writing, and that is, that as my soul developed in love, my intellect and knowledge also developed, and I became very wise without having to study as you mortals do on earth, and now I see that many of your so-called wise men are, in their wisdom, very foolish, and in their understanding very ignorant. I write this because he may think that now I am the same person in my intellect and knowledge that I was when we were happy together. And we were happy for a short while, for I loved him with all the fervor of my young life and trust, and was so sorrowful when I had to leave him. But God knew best, and now I know that it was for the best. As I said, I still love him, but with a greater and more fervent love than ever, and sometimes I love him so very intensely that I draw him to me and enjoy a spirit communion with him, although he may not realize it. Pardon me for writing so long. With my love to him, I will say good night. The Paget Messages, 1917. I was Mrs. Horner when on earth for a short time, when he gave me the fine love of his youth, and I will be his for all eternity, Mrs. Horner. December 18, 1917. I am here, William R. Woodward. Let me say a word, as I have listened to your conversation, and to me the most of it is Greek, for while I understand your words and sentences, I do not comprehend your meaning. What do you mean by transformation of the soul? I am a spirit who, when on earth, believed in the new birth and regeneration, and believed that I was the subject of both, and was fitted when I died to enter into the mansions of the redeemed and enjoy the presence of God and of Jesus, but I have found that since I became a spirit I am no more in the presence of God than I was on earth. I was taught that by receiving the new birth, and, as I understood that meant to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as my Savior and become baptized, I would be saved. As I said, I was taught that this new birth was all that I was required to have in order to become an inhabitant of Jesus' heavens, and now I know that teaching did not bring me to heaven. And when I hear you speak of the transformation of the soul by the new birth, your teachings sound very much like those that I was taught when on earth, and I wonder if you are not suffering under the same delusion that I was.